Behold, a podcast for the ages. Recorded live from the interdimensional terror vortex of their subterranean dwellings comes the Rough House Podcast version 3.0. Two galactic warriors put down their warhammers and battle axes to perform a more noble task. Complaining about professional wrestling on internet-purchased microphones.
Now with more Simpsons references and Kota Ibushi thirst.
This is the Rough House Podcast with Marty and Christoph.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Rough House Podcast, episode number 370 for May 12, 2024. Hi, I'm Marty.
Hey, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
I don't know what happened there. I'm Chris.
Yeah, that is
Christopher. Chris.
Christopher.
Christoph Christofferson. It's my great uncle, twice removed.
Yeah, and you hang out with Blade and just grumble.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Blade is usually around, but his eyes are typically closed, so we have to CG them open.
God, what is the Blade franchise? By the way, this is a pro wrestling podcast, but let's dig into the Marvel Vampire movie.
Yeah,
is the Blade franchise cursed?
I mean,
because you had the Blade Trinity stuff, which. Dear listener, if you've never read up on it, do yourself a favor. Just look up, just type in Wesley Snipes, Blade Trinity.
Yeah.
And the stories of him
being completely unworkable.
Yeah. But this new MCU one with Mahershala Ali, like that is just failing at every single possible step.
Yeah. They like fired everybody, got rid of the script, everybody but Mahershala Ali. I don't know. I mean, it's slated to come out next year. It's not coming out next year.
Yeah, it's not coming out. I don't think there's a script.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, they did just announce a Lord of the Rings movie for next year that I assume doesn't have a script, but who knows?
Well, you know, I don't know. Yeah. All that Blade Trinity drama aside, I still love that movie. I know it's not a good movie, but I enjoy it.
Very solid 6.5 out of 10. Like it's a very enjoyable 6.5 out of 10 movie.
Yeah. You know, you get your prototype Ryan Reynolds snarky asshole is Hannibal King. You got Triple H appearance in there.
Yeah.
Parker Posey,
of all people,
as a vampire. Patton Oswalt pops up.
Mm-hmm.
Jessica Biel in the workout with her iPod Generation 2 or what, 1 or whatever it was.
Yep,
it's fantastic.
Yeah, it's really of its time.
Super kitschy. Yeah,
yeah.
In retrospect, it's kitschy.
I might run that back. But
yeah.
Nevertheless, this is a pro wrestling podcast. There's a lot to dig into, a lot to talk about. Thank you, folks, for bearing with us. And thank you, Justin, for popping in, not just with last week's episode, but also the one-man show that he did for us a few weeks back. But, hey, let's talk about the pro wrestling. And, of course, Chris, we need to start with this company.
The World Wrestling Federation,
for
over 50 years, the revolutionary force in sports
entertainment. Well, WWE was the talk of the internet wrestling community these past few days because the AJ Styles, Cody Rhodes backlash main event was the first main event in some time for WWE to get the coveted 5 stars. Now, before we dig into this, I will point out how kind of messed up it is. This is AJ Styles' second only 5-star match.
Wow. Do you happen to know the first?
It was the TNA triple threat with Joe and Chris Daniels.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So Chris Daniels has a five-star match.
He had a 5-star match before Bryan Danielson did.
Wow. That's silly.
Yeah.
So, okay. So Uncle Dave, and this is obviously Dave Meltzer's reviews.
Yes.
So on Friday, the Observer comes out, goes through Backlash, does a little recap, and gives Styles and Cody for the WWE Championship Backlash in France 5 stars.
Yes.
So you texted me this, and I said, I'm sure the internet is reacting appropriately. And I was, I guess, pretty spot on. So now have people changed their tune on the acceptance of Uncle Dave's ratings because now he's favoring a WWE show and not an AEW show?
Well, you will be not shocked to find out the shoe is on the other foot because the WWE stands, though they are begrudgingly going along with it, are like, hey, we got a 5-star match. You know, WWE product is the best it's ever been in ring. Blah, 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 blah. You know, all of that stuff. We got cinema and we got the ring work. Ugh. What does Tony Khan, C-O-N, have?
Yeah. A bag of cocaine.
Right. Snowflake Tony. So for the AEW fans, it is now a conversation as to whether or not the 5-star system is broken.
Oh, man. I was really hoping to shit on WWE fans and not AEW fans during this.
Yeah. It's definitely gone another foot. And look, I watched the match. I watched the entire pay-per-view. It was a breezy, easy watch. And the reason why is because of that crowd.
So subtract the crowd, and this is a 4-star match.
Yeah. Subtract a crowd from the entire show. It's a house show.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a very solid, very well put together match that was made all the better for an incredibly hot crowd.
True.
If you don't have full context. If you have full context, which is the crowd was treating this like they would a football match.
Uh-huh.
Complete with chants and everything like that, it kind of makes the chanting and the enthusiasm less so. It diminishes from it because
it's not its own thing.
Right. And one could argue that there was a point during the show where it was just, oh, they're just entertaining themselves.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just they're entertaining themselves in the direction of the pay-per-view. And
because, as you said, it was essentially just a house show.
Right. And I'm taking nothing away from Cody or AJ. I mean, well, I will take away a little bit of the AJ Styles pulls out a burning hammer and gets a 1 count on Cody spot.
Yeah,
I will be in my feels about that. But otherwise, like, it was well performed. Cody is the guy there.
Mm-hmm.
It fits him like a glove. He is where he needs to be. He's doing what he needs to do. And in turn, it is sort of championing, yes, a new era in ring of WWE. AJ Styles, yes, he's on the downside of his career now. Like, I'm not going to say he's bad by any means, but like, if he's on a roller coaster, the descent has started.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'd say he's on his last loop around before he pulls into the station, really. And that's by his own words. Yeah. He's saying that, you know, he wants to hang it up after this current contract is done, which is in another year or this year or something.
Something like that.
Relatively soon.
And he's very good in it, and he's always been very good. So in ring wise, it was very good.
How many kicks to the testicles were involved in this AJ Styles match?
I believe there were 0.
Wow.
Nary a ball kick.
Wow. I love how I'm clinging on to something that happened like 5 WrestleManias ago.
Yeah. Well, that,
if not longer.
Yeah. You're not wrong. But hey, Shinsuke Nakamura always loves to slug those nuts. Now, hey, then, you know. Forever.
Slug those nuts.
Yeah. So like, it's good. It's fine. It's all of that. But what is also interesting is this week you got to see the first signs of issues in the new ring work forward WWE style.
Okay.
Because they kicked off the King and Queen of the Ring tournaments. And let's see here. 1, 2, 3, 4. So a quarter of the 16 competitors between the two tournaments had to drop out due to injury.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Who got injured?
Kofi Kingston, who's going against Rey Mysterio, he replaced Xavier Woods, who is injured. Jey Uso replaced Drew McIntyre, who is injured. And Angelo Dawkins replaced Bobby Lashley, who is injured.
Did McIntyre get hurt at Mania or after Mania? Did I miss that?
I think it was at Mania, but they weren't really aware of it until after.
Okay. Something serious?
His elbow's fucked up.
Okay.
It's nothing that like, oh, he can't do a pay-per-view or whatever. But let's be honest. He's in the feud with a man who also doesn't have an arm who works right now.
Yeah. One-armed match.
Right. And then on the women's side, Dakota Kai had to replace Asuka because Asuka is injured. Okay. So, you're now seeing WWE get that sort of snake bit scenario that we saw in AEW over the past year or so, where you plan out these things, but because of the toughness and the harder driving style, people are getting hurt. So it's very interesting to see, again, that shoe literally on the other foot, where for so long and so long you had WWE fans pointing at AEW saying, oh, they work unsafe, everybody's getting hurt.
Well, right.
Your two tournaments that are key to your next pay-per-view in Saudi Arabia, they are getting snake bit. And then the other thing, which was just kind of weird, is two matches from each tournament, so two men's matches and two women's matches, were announced as being on WWE live events this weekend, so house shows.
Really?
Yes.
Why?
Because they didn't have enough time to do full matches on television. So they ended up doing, over the course of the week, they did three men and three women. The fourth of each were going to be on house shows. And you're going to love this. They did not tell you which matches would be at which show. We know now. We know now because last night, LA Knight defeated Santos Escobar.
Yeah.
Tiffany Stratton defeated Minchin. So that means, presumably, tonight Kofi Kingston's going against Rey Mysterio. And Zelina Vega is going against Shayna Baszler. So you can assume now what the matches are going to be. But if you are promoting King of the Ring tournament matches, which I assume are taped, for live events, wouldn't you want to say where they're going to be?
Yeah, and wouldn't you also, you know, if this is what's leading into your next big PLE, wouldn't you want to have them on TV? And so what? Why did they get bumped? Did the promos go too long? Did other matches go too long?
It literally was they wanted to give the matches more time. So, like, Raw was main evented by Gunther against Ilya Dragunov, and they did, you know, basically an NXT style match. Also on Raw, you had Sheamus and Gunther, and it was Ilya Dragunov and Ricochet. Again, we're looking at a 14 minute match, a 21 minute match. AJ Styles and Randy Orton went against each other on SmackDown. That went 17 minutes. Like, the matches were given time, and because of that, they could not put all four men, all four women's matches on the 5 hours of television they have.
That just sounds like poor clock management. Like, bump some other stuff, trim down some promos, you know, like,
or cut matches shorter.
Especially if people are being injured with the new way you're doing things over there. Yeah, it kind of seemed like an obvious choice instead of just, all right, we'll throw these on a house show in Peoria and another one in Oklahoma City or whatever the fuck.
And also, I don't know where they're going to air these matches. I know that they got taped, but I don't know where they're going to be presented. I don't think they're going on Peacock.
Kofi and Rey Mysterio, that's a fun match.
Yeah. I mean, even when it was Xavier against Rey, that sounds like a real fun time. You know, Shayna Baszler and Zelina Vega, whatever.
Sure. Yeah.
LA Knight and Angela or Santos Escobar. I guess that would be fun, but
not must see TV.
Right. But I don't know where they're going to go. And it really just makes one kind of go, why didn't you kind of just Rio de Janeiro this and just tell us, oh, and in matches that were not held on television, here's who beat who.
Yeah, it seems like bad format out of it. Bad formatting.
Yeah, it's not great. Also, now scheduled for the King and Queen of the Ring pay-per-view, we've got some title matches, Chris.
Okay.
As Sami Zayn will be defending the Intercontinental Championship in a triple threat against Chad Gable and Bronson Reed.
Oh, okay.
Big, real good big, match on paper.
Big bad Bronson guy still around?
Yes, he is. Becky Lynch will be defending the Women's World Championship against Liv Morgan.
Still without a contract?
Still without a contract. Contract's up in June. Fightful was talking about it last night. So we'll see. I'd imagine if Liv wins here, that'll tell you what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And then in a champion versus champion match, I don't know if this means the belts are on the line or it's just a champion against a champion. Cody Rhodes against Logan Paul.
Okay. What the, why?
I don't know. I mean, if you think about it, Logan has defeated on the SmackDown side of things, Randy Orton and Kevin Owens, who are two of the top guys on SmackDown that aren't Cody.
Okay.
So in theory, yeah, he's in kayfabe the right guy. I think in reality, it probably was someone in Saudi Arabia was like, can we have the YouTube guy, please?
Yeah. Okay. Sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know how those styles match up.
I don't know either. I mean, I know, and I don't say this to be rude. It's just kind of a point of fact. I imagine that Cody will be able to take the time to work out at length.
Sure.
A good match with Logan Paul, because Logan Paul has shown himself to be trainable and to be able to execute what he's trained on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just, you know, you have to spend 4 hours the day of the show with him to walk through the match.
Right.
So I'm sure it will be a spectacle.
Sure. Yeah. As long as their plane arrives on time and arrives.
Right.
Arrives and then, on time.
Yeah.
And with their gear. Leave.
Elsewhere, in WWE this week, Jerry Lawler's broadcasting contract has officially, expired.
And, I didn't even know he was still under contract.
He was. And Jerry's now saying that his WWE career is probably completely over. He's got a Legends deal,
sure.
But I mean, I think he's like 75 now.
Yeah. What does Jerry Lawler add to WWE in 2024? Fucking nothing.
I don't know. I do want to take a moment because, as we say all the time, they listen. Tony, hi. I know I'm talking to you in the WWE segment, which isn't normal for me, but do not embrace that urge.
Don't fucking do it, man.
To have JR and Jerry the King Lawler call a match at Dynamite, at All In, at Forbidden Door, at any of it. Actually, you know what? If you want to do it on Rampage. Do it on Rampage.
Nobody's watching that anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, well, he still has a Legends deal, so he wouldn't be able to come over.
Right, right. He would not be able to.
But still, yeah, that's not anything I need to hear anymore, you know.
No, we're good. We are set. Let the memories be the memories. Let them be what they were. Yeah, I don't need that.
God, I'm just having like nightmarish flashes of things Jerry Lawler would say during like a Timeless Toni Storm match or a Nyla Rose match.
Yeah, JR is always a tough listen during those matches.
Or a Sky Blue match.
God, he'd sound like us.
Worse.
So on contract news, WWE announced this week, one, SmackDown will be moving to USA Network earlier than announced.
Okay, because of the gap, stopgap thing or whatever.
Basically, so the Fox fall schedule starts in September.
Right.
The original plan was that SmackDown was going to move to USA in October. Instead, they bump it back 2 weeks. I think it's September 13th is going to be the first SmackDown show. But also, USA Network has paid them $25 million to host those last 2.5 months of Raw.
Wow.
So from October to December, or actually from September to December, you will have both Raw and SmackDown on the USA Network.
Wow. And then the end of an era.
Yeah.
For Raw.
Yeah. Well, end of an era that had a little detour. We
don't count the TNN years.
We don't count the TNN years. No. We got pop, Chris. Come on, man.
But Nashville Network. Representing Monday Night Raw.
Well, give me a second here. Blowing the dust off of this button. New Japan Pro Wrestling. The doldrums continue for New Japan as they kicked off the Best of the Super Juniors tournament yesterday.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, you know what? On paper, sounds like a fun show. Let me dip in to what Cage, what's it? Cage Match. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cage Match says about the card.
No, oh, geez.
It had, as of last night, a 6.5 out of 10. and most of the matches were in the five range.
Yeesh.
Yeah.
Are there any fun notable names in the tournament this year? I think we may have gone through the roster at one point, but I've forgotten.
I mean, it's a lot of the regular guys, but like Dragon Dia from Dragon Gate, he ended up being a replacement for Taguchi because Taguchi got hurt. Kevin Knight, I think this might be his first one where he's working as a singles in the Best of Super Juniors tournament. Okay. Blake Christian of GCW fame back in the mix there. Mm-hmm. And Ninja Mac of GCW and Noah fame on there. Not really the sort of star studded, oh my God, look at all the people from the US they got type tournament that it could or should have been.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, send Dante Martin over there, send Dante and Darius over there.
Yeah.
And just see how they improve.
Yeah.
But on paper, like this was the first night card.
Okay.
Teton versus El Desperado, Kushida versus Hiromu Takahashi, Kevin Knight versus TJP, Taji Ishimori versus Doki, Blake Christian against Clark Connors, Sho against Drilla Maloney, Kosei Fujita against Yoshinobu Kanemaru, Ninja Mac against Robbie Eagles, Hayata against Bushi, and Francisco Akira against Dragon Dia.
It's a lot of fucking matches.
It's a lot of matches, and on paper, there's some really good pairings in there.
Yeah, but it's all the same kind of match.
That is true. That is true.
You're watching fucking eight of the same match or 10, wherever it was. 12. Yeah. I don't know how many you just read off. Sound like you were talking for 5 minutes.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, 10.
10. Yeah, there you go. Math. Yeah, that's not a card I want to sit through, honestly.
That's fair. That's fair. Like I said, I saw the lineup and I went, there's probably some gold in there. I'll see what people are saying are good. Skip around on the New Japan World, not so much.
Yeah.
But then last night they were back in California for the Resurgence card.
Oh.
And what everyone's talking about is the surprise run-in after the New Japan Strong title match where Gabe Kidd defeated Eddie Kingston in a no-rope last man standing match, becoming the new New Japan Strong champion. Who should pop up as Eddie's sort of soaking in the, thank you, Eddie, I lost my belt, sadness moment.
That's the third one gone too, right?
Yeah, they're all gone now.
Yeah, he has nothing to hold his pants up with.
just this rope. Just nothing else.
Just an old extension cord.
Yes. But who should pop up for the first time since Wrestle Kingdom 13, but the Young Bucks? As they run in and beat the crap out of him, as does Jack Perry, as they take their AEW feud to New Japan.
Mm. And was anybody else involved in that, or just anybody come for Eddie save Eddie?
Let me see. I don't think anyone did.
Just the beatdown. All right. Well, I mean, it's, I guess, a good thing that they're, they'll hopefully, you would think, show a little highlight of this on Dynamite, especially if the Bucks are still in charge of things and doing their whole thing.
You would think that they want to make a big thing about it. They want to show it.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting you say that, as we will talk about when we talk about AEW television this past week. There is a very interesting New Japan talent booked on this week's Dynamite.
Okay.
So we'll talk about that in a few moments.
Is it Shingo Takagi?
It is not Shingo.
Fuck.
I'm sorry to say it's not Shingo.
God damn it.
But in what might be the most disappointing moment of last night's card, when you're taking a look at everything that happened, it was Jon Moxley defending the IWGP World Heavyweight title against Shooter Shota Umino.
Mm-hmm.
Mox won. That's not a big surprise.
Yeah.
Post-match, Evil and Ren Narita of House of Torture beat them down. Evil challenges Jon Moxley to a title match and then spray paints the IWGP title belt as Gato gonna Gato.
If this is trying to convince me to watch New Japan again, you are failing.
Yeah.
No. Not you specifically.
I understand. I'm just saying it's bad. It's real bad. It's not great. And speaking of not great,
woo!
Oh, this fucking guy.
You thought New Japan was in a bad state.
Phew, my God.
Intervention. Oh, boy. He was all over the wrestling news this week. First and foremost, he officially confirmed what everyone assumed and said, oh, hey, it turns out I had a heart attack in my last match.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you don't fucking say. You're 70 plus years old and, you know, trying to be an asshole. Congratulations, you're an asshole.
Yeah, and he proved that as he got into a shouting match with a kitchen manager at a local Italian restaurant.
Hey, yo!
Which resulted in him being kicked out of said restaurant.
Yeah.
Which resulted in him title case tweeting about the incident.
I still don't understand that. It takes so much more work to do that. That's not like a setting you can do on your phone, is it?
That's what I've been trying to figure out for years, because it's not just Rick of the Golden Generation who decides to do this.
Oh, like, it's a boomer thing.
Yeah. Like, look in the comments of, say, the Baltimore Sun. Especially
well, you're breaking one of my cardinal rules of doing that, but okay.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, look at the comments, especially if the article's about Marilyn Mosby, Joe Biden,
Brandon Scott.
There will be a title case tweeter in the mix there. Don't know how he does it, but he does it every single time. And over the course of this week, he said that he would never go there again.
Which I'm sure the restaurant's very upset about.
Yeah. The restaurant said, yes, all this happened. They showed the photocopy of his receipt where he wrote down $1,000 tip.
Okay.
And they chose to not cash it because they were that pissed with him.
Oh, I would have taken the money, though.
No disagreement.
Yeah.
Rick then proceeded to say he would buy out the restaurant.
Okay. Okay, drunk uncle.
Then video came out of the incident.
Uh-huh.
Basically, the thing was, I believe the manager was taking too long to poop in the bathroom. I really think that's what spurred all of this. And if you watch the video, it's great because he's – you know, yelling at the kitchen manager and getting into this argument. And he says, I think it was to the manager, might've been someone else there. He's just like, hey, you want to go outside? You want to take this outside? And of course they're like, no, there's no need for us to do that. Some random guy at the bar is like, I'll go outside with you.
First of all, if Ric Flair in the year of our Lord 2024 is trying to fight me, I'm winning that fight. Me personally, Chris.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I could fucking just take
run Ric around Flair. The restaurant a few times, have him chase you. He's done.
I mean, there's zero physical imposition. Imposition of Ric Flair right now. He's a frail old man.
Yeah.
He's sad.
Mr. Burns wearing a couch that looks like Liberace's sofa. That's who he is at this point.
Can we end the show?
But
God damn it.
So all of that happened.
Yeah.
Then Rick formally apologized, and my favorite footnote in all this, admitted that he had ordered from them in the days since.
Hey man, Artie Bucco is back there slinging some veal parm. You know, you got to get that fixed, man.
And then last night, because Rick needs a friend, just tweeting, I really appreciate Tony Khan and what he's done for me.
Oh,
you know, Tony just looked at his phone and was like, ah, God damn it.
It's like, what's our contract with Woo Energy?
How much longer does this go?
God.
Yeah, it's a train wreck.
Man, I mean, I don't want to say the world will be better off without Ric Flair. But what I will say is Ric Flair is not doing anything to help his career.
His
reputation. His notoriety. He's doing detrimental harm to his legacy. That's the word I was looking for, his legacy.
Yeah, well, I think coming back after the Shawn Michaels match already was step one. And that was like 10 plus years ago that he's like, I'm going to TNA.
Yeah, but then he keeps doing things to knock it down further further. Yeah. I think he's he's in negatives now.
Yes, yes. He's negative one. And I'm not talking about Lil Brody.
Yeah.
That's where he's at this point.
Fuck, little Brody could kick his ass.
Yeah, undoubtedly. Undoubtedly. Well, let's go ahead and hit this button. AEW this week continued on the road to Double or Nothing. The card's coming together. It's looking pretty nice. We got ourselves a pretty major main event announced during the course of Dynamite. And we had a very interesting match with a stip challenged for during last night's Collision. So let's dig into the show. Kicked off with Orange Cassidy against Trent Barretta. This was not the match I was expecting. I got to be honest with you, Chris.
Yeah. At least it didn't start out with a fucking collar and elbow tie up.
Yes. Yes.
They definitely started beating the shit out of each other, and they did proceed to beat the shit out of each other all around the arena, in Edmonton,
on Wednesday. They were in Edmonton.
And I don't know. It seemed initially when it was announced, it seemed that they were getting to the fireworks factory too soon, on this feud. And then, you know, it ends with, you know, OC picking up a dub.
A fluke dub.
No, yeah, but. Right. And that's the thing for this feud must continue. Yes. And then they do, a pile driver on the stairs?
Pile driver on the stairs as Don Callis, I guess, is trying to recruit OC now. Like, it got even more muddied. And I don't know if that was their intent.
If I'm Don Callis and the history of Don Callis and look at the people in the Don Callis family, wouldn't I be more interested in going after Trent?
You would think so. You would think that there's more of an upside there. He's shown himself as corruptible, but instead, not so much.
Yeah. So the pile driver on the stairs, no stretcher spot there.
No stretcher spot. You had Don Callis come down to try to talk sense into Trent. You had Chris Statlander come down to try to talk sense into both guys. It was just a weird angle, especially because Chris is in the middle of this I'm going to eventually turn on Willow thing.
Right.
So it did not
land.
Deliver what I was hoping for.
Yeah.
Then we went to the back where we saw the Elite pulling into the parking lot. Turns out Tony Khan had a private space in an arena.
In Edmonton.
For that night.
Yeah.
He wasn't going to be there.
Also, if you're running the show, how did you get there late after the show had begun?
Oh, it was an earlier today
video. Oh, that's right. There was.
Fair. Oh, and week two, by the way, still using the all the Elite intro for Dynamite, which I love.
Keep it going.
Yeah. So they showed that. They showed a recap of the beatdown on Kenny Omega and the Twitter video from Jack Perry talking about how Kenny Omega isn't as good as he thinks it is. I thought that was one of the best Jack Perry promos I've ever seen.
Yeah, it seems like he's definitely found his confidence.
Yes, which was necessary.
And you know what? You will put a feather in the cap to Evil and House of Torture for saying, basically showing Jack Perry, this is what you don't do to become successful. And then Jack Perry figured it out and did the opposite. Now look at him now.
Evil being the Tay Diggs to the Jack Perry Angela Bassett.
Wow. How Jungle Boy got his groove back.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Then we had Kenny Omega in a hospital bed.
Wow. Not a reference I expected to make today.
He said that he could not be there because he was beat down. By the way, on Twitch yesterday, he said he's getting the surgery soon. So we're going to be seeing that. Although Kenny,
this is the gut surgery.
This would be the gut surgery.
Yeah.
Kenny definitely blurs the line between reality and kayfabe on his Twitch stream.
Okay.
Because he was even talking about like the 5-star match being overblown and talking about how like Danielson versus Ospreay, it was this match where it was good, but did it mean anything? It's all him building to a rematch against Will.
With Ospreay.
Yeah. Cause Will also went on AEW Unrestricted week before last and absolutely motherfucked Kenny for leaving New Japan.
Okay.
So they're still building something.
I started to listen to Ospreay on Swerve City, Swerve's podcast.
Yes.
I only got like 15 minutes in and then I had to get back to work, but nothing really mind-blowing at that point. Although he did kind of do a little wink to the camera when he said, I'll hold the title when I beat you.
Yeah.
I was like, okay.
Yeah. I do. There was a video going around from that pod. Mm-hmm. They just have a great back and forth. Which is always enjoyable. But I do enjoy the fact that Swerve's self-aware, that people just think, oh yeah, it's going from me to Will. Mm-hmm. That's that.
Yeah.
But Kenny Omega in the hospital bed, he says that at Double or Nothing, it's the 5th year anniversary of AEW. So how about we do this? It'll be the Elite. So the Bucks, Okada and Jack Perry against Team AEW. And he said the first two picks were going to be FTR. And he said, we'll find out who the other two are later tonight.
Yeah, they listen.
They absolutely do. Although the picks, not necessarily in line with where we were going.
No, but I'm not angry at it. Yeah,
not about it. Tony Schiavone then introduces Serena Deeb. Serena Deeb then proceeds to absolutely destroy her career over the span of the next few minutes.
It felt like 20.
Yeah, it was rough. I like Deeb in ring a lot. And I think the theory of how that promo was going to go was very akin to Kenny's promo from, you know, the week before.
Right.
Talking about the injuries, talking about the real life issues that she's fought to get to where she is. The problem is, and this is very much like with the Deonna Purrazzo feud, the crowd really likes Tony.
Right. And I mean, the crowd like immediately turned on Deeb, even though she's given this heartfelt sort of thing, and you can tell it rattled her. And then she was completely lost after that.
Yeah. Yeah. And it doesn't help that Tony kind of comes out and does the, you know, almost prime Dwayne Johnson in the 90s level of fuck you and everything you stand for.
Yeah. Like,
by way of comedy.
Yes. intentional comedy.
Yes. Intentional comedy. it was bad. Not since The Rock came out and shat on Billy Gunn have I ever seen anyone destroyed so strongly.
Yeah. I didn't think Deeb was going to win this feud anyway. But now it's just, you know, I mean, and like you said, in the ring, she's very good. She's super talented in the ring.
Yeah.
And that's good for her.
Yeah.
On the microphone, maybe keep them away from her.
I think just everyone knows we're heading towards Tony versus Mariah.
Right.
Mariah's getting very over, which makes sense because she is somehow a hybrid of what 90s wrestling and modern wrestling wanted out of a woman wrestler.
Yeah. Like, while cosplaying as Tony Storm.
Yeah. Like, just pull the trigger on it, guys.
Yeah.
Like, I recognize this probably would mean, you know, no timeless Tony Storm, because undoubtedly when she drops the belt, she's going to go away for a little while. But God,
they're going to do it all shoot, in, man. Right?
I would assume.
Yeah.
But we will see what they end up doing.
So in between that, we have Double or Nothing.
Yeah, we've got Forbidden Door.
Forbidden Door. And then we've got All In and then All Out.
Yeah, All In, All Out, back-to-back weekends.
Yeah.
So it'll probably be, based off of comments Rocky Romero made this week, it'll probably be Stardom people going against Tony Storm and Will Nightingale at Forbidden Door. Because he said that there's going to be Stardom people, and he said there is likely going to be CMLL people.
You said against Will Nightingale, you don't think Mercedes is going to win the title in her first match?
You know, that's a great point. Well, we'll talk about her in a bit.
Okay.
Talk about her in a minute.
Okay.
Lexi Neighbors backstage with Orange Cassidy. Rocky Romero, aforementioned man with 18 jobs, walks in to check on him, said that if I beat Jay White tonight, I'm going to be able to get a trios title match. How about, you know, it's you, me, and Ishii, or maybe we, you know, link back up with Trent. And OC just kind of flips out about that. And I don't really know what the point of this segment was, considering Rocky absolutely lost to Jay White.
Well, yeah, I mean, there was no way he was going to win that match. Also, I did like the bit of fire, the clapback from OC when you know, Rocky mentioned Trent's name. I was like, yeah, fucking what? You see what that guy just did to me? You want me to
team almost with murdered me on live television.
Right.
Yeah.
In Canada. Thankfully, they have good health care.
Yeah. Mariah May defeated Harley Cameron. This was Harley Cameron's 23rd match.
Ever.
Ever. I mean, at least according to the fine folks at Cage Match. During the match, I was so bored because it was Harley Cameron and Soraya out there. There's not even Mariah May didn't know what to do with that.
Yeah.
I was like, was this Harley Cameron's first match ever? And I looked and no, she's had a few.
Yeah.
But yeah, kind of weird. And then also weird, Mita Shirakawa pops up at the end just to drink and give smooches.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Maybe to build to something, hopefully at some point, not just a random appearance.
The new gal, Arcady Aura, which is a difficult name just to comprehend. Yeah,
get a better stage name, dude.
Yeah. Is with perhaps the most cursed version of Pac possible, Dry Pack.
Not well, second cursed, second as cursed, because like there are a couple random photos of like Pac just dressed like a normal human being with his hair back, like smiling in a photo, and that is unsettling.
Yes,
but yeah, it's that's right below it. Dry Pac. I guess they're is there a water shortage in Edmonton?
Did they not get spring to hit the shower before his promo? Like,
yeah,
it was weird. It made it look very weird.
Yeah. It's like I'm used to you being shiny one way or another.
But that was really more about building something.
Look again, Lenny.
that was really more about building something between Jay White and Pac as Jay White interrupts Pac. And
I mean, sign me up for that feud.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially because Jay mentioned Death Triangle as a possibility. So,
okay. Speaking of. And this may have been a work that I didn't see the second part of, but there was a show last weekend where Penta came out and said that Phoenix was not cleared to wrestle. Was that just a work and he came out and wrestled later? I never saw anything after that.
He did not come out and wrestle later. We don't know more than that.
Jesus Christ.
I've not seen an explanation because it ended up. So it was House of Glory, which is
the Tommy Dreamer.
Isn't that Tommy Dreamer's thing? No, House of Hardcore was Tommy Dreamer.
Oh, okay.
House of Glory is run by the Amazing Red, and for a brief time, maybe still, had money put into it by Master P. I'm not making this up.
Oh?
But
did they make him say, on the way to the ring?
Yes, and he also then signed Prince Nanana.
God damn it, that's fucking hysterical. There are no limits to what we'll do for a joke on this show.
Very true. But Santana's champ over there now. And it was the Cinco de Mayo show, and it was going to be headlined by Penta versus Phoenix.
Okay.
They ended up having Laredo Kid take his spot. So it was Penta and Laredo Kid. I'm sure that was good.
I'm sure
it was really fun. I don't know if, yes, he's hurt again, or did he miss a flight? Did he not realize he was booked on a Sunday? Like,
has he just not been cleared since the prior injury? Because has he wrestled at all?
Yeah, he returned on Collision week before last.
Oh,
went against
I'm watching Collision.
The Beast Mortos in a very.
Oh, yeah, match. That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So
formerly Black Taurus, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, Phoenix, I hope you get your shit together. Speaking of Triangulo de la Muerte, I also saw a stat on Twitter that Penta has lost 13 consecutive singles matches on Dynamite.
Wow.
Which is
the thing that is insane. Such a pain about Penta is he's always going to be over.
Sure. Yeah, he's fucking super cool, man. Like, he has the charisma just oozes out of his, pores.
And he has enough juice with the audience that someone on the rise can beat him. And it's like, oh, this guy's a real threat.
Yeah, but like, wasn't one of them Adam Copeland?
Adam Copeland is being pushed as like the number two, maybe number three guy in the company right now.
I understand, but career is not on the rise.
No disagreement.
But I digress. I was it was a stat that really kind of I took like a sucker punch to the gut. I was like, oh, my guy.
Yeah.
Like,
sorry, bud. But speaking of Adam Copeland, he then had a video package with Malachi Black where he got all spooky and rambled on about evil and darkness and all sorts of stuff.
Man, his promos are just fucking words, spooky word salad.
But on the other side of it, you had the video package about the visionary pioneers, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson. Mm. This was fantastic. Mm-hmm. This was exactly the type of thing that needed to be on the show.
Well, yeah.
Give me more like election
self-aggrandizing sort of. Yeah.
I'm Matt Jackson. I approve this message. Like that's what we need out of this.
Yeah. They're being dicks.
Yeah.
They're, and that's, you know, that's really what they're the best at. Cause they're pretty unlikable on their own. Yeah. So when they lean into it, then it really works as a wrestling angle.
And then we had the face-to-face between Christian Cage and Swerve Strickland, a thing that got a countdown clock during the show.
Yeah, that was odd to me. Like, yeah. I understand, you know, it's a, you know, when Swerve isn't on screen, people should be asking where's Swerve. Mm-hmm. So I guess that kind of answers that. But at the same time, it was just like in 53 minutes. Like, okay.
Yeah, also, how do you know it's going to be then if the matches are real?
Well, there's that too. I mean, you know, just say at the top of the second hour, you know, Swerve and Christian will come face to face or something like that. Right. You know, I don't know. Maybe they were trying something out. I don't think it worked.
Well, I thought this was a pretty well done angle. The back and forth between the two of them is very good. I mean, both Swerve and Christian are very good on the mic. Yes, they finally pulled the trigger to separate Swerve from the rest of the decidedly heel Mogul Embassy.
Right.
Having them jump Swerve. Do you think Swerve is getting chumped and played out a little too much already as champion? That's been the discussion point online this week.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, the babyface champion overcoming the numbers game.
Right.
You know, I think you have to take a couple beat downs before you find some actual friends who won't turn on you to come out and back you up and then overcome the odds. Like, I feel like he's going to need somebody aside from Nana in his corner at Double or Nothing because, you know, the patriarchy itself is a bunch of people. And you add, you know, Taya Leone, Bishop, not Tony Khan, and the Swolverine in there.
Yeah.
There's a lot of fucking people.
There are a lot of people.
Not that I want Swerve necessarily to have his own faction or anything, but, you know, at least somebody, you know, it looks like
this angle is about getting him out of a faction.
Right. So, yeah, I don't think he's been chumped too much because it's believable. It's not just like, you know, Christian on his own kicking his ass.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't think that's an issue yet.
Well, what I thought was interesting was after that, they cut to the back and the Young Bucks are congratulating.
Well, yeah, there's that too.
And, you know, thanking the Mogul Embassy, basically hinting, yeah, the Bucks put everyone up to this.
Yeah.
To do. So we'll see where that goes, because if they're going to put Swerve in the mix of this whole elite
AEW versus elite thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's the top story in the company right now.
Sure. And it sort of seems like they're starting to bleed over a little more and more each week.
Right. The terribly named Arcady Ara was then backstage with Willow Nightingale.
Let's call her New Girl.
But it's not Jess.
No.
Willow did her standard baby face promo of, I'll take on everybody. I'm going against Mercedes at Double or Nothing. Look, I won the strong women's title from you. I won the Owen Hart Cup. I got the TBS title, and I'm going to fight you.
Tell her when she's telling lies. I mean, she's firing all cylinders right now, is Willow.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why I think if they're going to have Mercedes beat her, it feels like the wrong move.
I don't think it should happen either, but you know,
Echo Justin on the show last week in some soapboxes prior, patreon.com/theRoughhousePodcast for those. I do wonder if there's buyer's remorse from AEW right now.
They keep putting her on camera and keep letting her talk.
And it is not working, great. Brother.
It's not good. Yeah. It's just like, it's so community theater.
Yes.
It's amateur. Her promos.
It's bad.
Like, she doesn't get lost like Deeb, but it's just poor performance. Like, I don't know if it's a mental thing in her head where she's like, you know, this isn't what I'm used to. I've been gone for a while, this sort of thing. Maybe, you know, the internet chatter has gotten into her brain too. Perhaps. But yeah, it ain't firing. And I can't see her winning and beating Willow and then getting any kind of crowd favor at all. She'd have to go full heel, lean into all the boos and work something out of that. But I don't think it's the right call.
Yeah. I don't, I don't disagree. So we'll see what happens. Jay White defeated Rocky Romero. They had a really fun match, I thought.
I mean, anytime Jay White's wrestling on my TV, I'm happy.
Yeah. And he's definitely gotten it together. I know we talked a lot about how his early booking, the feud with Ricky Starks, all that really did not take the most advantage of him.
Yeah.
But it feels like since, weirdly enough, the Collision split and him being on, you know, the CM Punk show for a few weeks.
Yeah.
Like that set him on the road he needed to be one of the top guys. And yeah.
And I love the bat holding the belts when he did that promo with Pac.
Yeah.
Yeah. That looks really fucking cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The presentation of that is awesome. And also awesome is Pac running down, as it does look like we're getting some sort of trios match between the Bang Bang Gang and Pac and some partners, whoever they may be.
Let's go.
Joey Samoa was shown training, and man, that dude goes hard.
He does, but I love this. I love the fact that, oh, hey, you know, he was our champion. He lost clean, but he's, you know, still this monster. He's back in the gym. He's going to come back with a fucking vengeance. Like, these are the type of – and it wasn't long. It was like maybe not even a minute, I don't think.
Yeah.
This is an effective use of time.
Yeah. This is all you needed, because it was like you're reestablishing Joe as someone who's going to fuck people up.
Yeah.
And, I mean, yes, he did that against Isaiah Cassidy last week, but – he's going to do it some more. Yeah. We then had Chris Jericho and Big Bill go against two jobbers. First and foremost, Chris, the tiny pants. Why are they back?
Because he hates us.
Is it supposed to be irritating me? Is that the thing?
Yeah, I think so.
But beyond that, I'm really sorry to say this next bit. The whole babyface who doesn't know that he's a heel thing is kind of working.
Or heel, he doesn't know he's a babyface?
No. He thinks he's a babyface, but he doesn't know that the crowd hates him. He's it's the old Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of working.
I don't know. I can't.
I mean, I still want him off my television, and I am just counting down the days until the third member of Learning Tree is revealed as Sammy Guevara.
Ugh.
That was one of the things in the Observer this week, was that Sammy was off of his suspension and there wasn't currently any creative for him. And I could just hear Chris scrolling over that and going,
I got the most creative idea ever. Let's put him with me.
Yeah. Reunite Lee Sex Gods. The crowds are asking for it.
No, nobody's fucking asking for it, Chris.
But Hook returns next week, which might be the moment where someone joins the Learning Tree by jumping Hook. Just saying.
Nah.
Then the main event was Adam Copeland and Brody King for TNT title. It was a no DQ match.
Hell yeah.
It took a little bit to get going.
Yeah.
But once it got going, like, Brody looked like a fucking beast. This was awesome.
And Cope looked like he could still fucking hang. I mean, you know, he's of that era when wrestlers were still like tall guys. Like, and he's one of the tallest guys in AEW. And looking, you know, standing up to Brody King, who has towered over everybody for quite some time, helps that. But he fucking held his own in a pretty hardcore match at his age, which was impressive.
I will say, it sounds like him against Kyle O'Reilly last night, same deal.
Okay.
People are speaking really highly of that. But the match ended and it was 9:55.
Yeah.
So we got an all promo overrun.
Yeah, that was weird.
So we had Mercedes talking about how she's debuting in 18 days and she was going to be at the Celtics game and throw out the first pitch of the Red Sox game. And who cares? Lexi Nair was backstage with Kyle O'Reilly. That's where he formerly challenged for the TNT title, having saved Cope post the TNT title match. Mm-hmm. Then we had our main event promo where the Elite come out and say, you know, they want to know who FTR has as partners. By the way, I wanted to talk about this last week. I'm glad it got covered in storyline. I don't know if it was an after the fact realization or if it was from the jump, but the fact that the Dave Meltzer driver became the TK driver and Tony Khan took one, and the BTE trigger became the EVP trigger, and they took out Kenny with that.
Oh.
I thought that was really clever.
Yeah.
Again, a lot of people have been like, oh, you know, this is a culmination of a storyline since All In. I don't think it is. I think they got lucky. I think they're able to put the pieces together and go, oh, this makes sense.
Yeah.
I'm that same way about the change of the names of the moves. I don't think they were thinking that many steps ahead. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'm wrong. There was a random news bit on Fightful this past week that the top level creative for AEW has been locked in for a while.
Okay.
So maybe, but I think it's, again,
yeah, but not every detail ironed out like that. I can't imagine.
Yeah. I could see them going, oh, what's the easiest move for us to hit TK with that?
Right.
You know, we can
protect
him. Yeah. Oh, okay. I'll take the pile driver on the knees and people be, you know, focusing on the 450.
Yeah.
And then maybe that Wednesday, oh, we hit him with the EVP because he's a EVP, like,
yeah,
putting it together after the fact, but
yeah.
Still clever. Anyway, FTR comes out. They said they got two guys. Eddie Kingston is the first one. Makes total sense. He's been a part of the whole feud from the jump. Okada, when he first, you know, popped up, mm-hmm. beat up Eddie Kingston. And then the other guy, a returning Bryan Danielson.
Massive coming back pop.
From a neck injury, like, 2.5 weeks after getting it.
Neck injury.
Yeah. So Anarchy in the Arena. It's going to be Bryan Danielson, Kingston, and FTR against the Bucks, Okada, and Jack Perry.
I'm torn on this because I think that it will be fun.
Yes.
However, I hate that it's become an annual Double or Nothing gimmick, like a Hell in a Cell or sure. something like that.
Sure.
I feel like it should happen when it needs to happen, not necessarily based on the calendar.
Like Blood and Guts happens over the summer.
Right.
But
yeah,
it's not always the same week of Dynamite or the same month. I think they've done it at different points. And probably this year's Blood and Guts will be the Elite versus some team AEW. Mm-hmm. But on paper, you're telling me it's those eight guys?
Sure.
Yeah, that's going to be great. I have no notes.
Yeah. It'll be fun. It'll be wild. It'll be blood soaked. You know, there'll probably be some fun plunder, some great table spots around the place. Hopefully a band is not playing the entire time. But other than that,
we shall see. We had a combination Collision and Rampage once again.
I'm at the Collision. I'm at the Rampage. I'm at the combination Collision and Rampage.
So let's run through what happened on that. I've not had a chance to watch these. And
I chose not to.
And next week there will be another 3-hour block.
Golly.
But we had Danielson and Claudio against Top Flight. Heard that was very good. Danielson and Claudio unsurprisingly won.
Sure.
Will Ospreay defeated Lee Moriarty.
Ooh, I might check that out.
Very, very good. Yeah. Ospreay just delivers a great match, unsurprisingly.
4.5.
It was announced that next Saturday, Willow Nightingale is defending the TBS title at the Stardom pay-per-view.
Mm.
So ahead of the Mercedes Moné
match. Yeah, that'll be a busy week for her.
Yeah. Brian Cage and the Gates to Agony beat up some jobbers. Post-match.
Turbo Floyd?
No, it was Evan Rivers and the Voros twins.
Oh, the Voros twins. I know them.
Yes. Swerve ends up jumping them after the fact, and he challenges Brian Cage to a singles match on Dynamite this week.
Okay.
Daniel Garcia defeated KM, who's a jobber.
Okay. It was really loading this show up. Talent. Really,
well, wait until we get to Rampage. It's fucking dire. Dax Harwood had a one-on-one match with Tommy Billington. Tommy Billington is Dynamite Kid Tom Billington's nephew.
Nephew, okay. All right. Yes. I knew, obviously, there was some relation there.
Apparently, this match absolutely ruled.
Really? I didn't even know that kid was a wrestler, but okay.
I had heard about him and his brother because they were tag teaming. Like, I think they're popping up in MLW. And I was shocked, one, that they were just getting a random shot on Collision, but two, only one of them. Like, they've been tag teaming and he got the one. But
I mean, was Cash not there? Could he No, yeah, he was in Canada. I was going to say, could he not leave the country due to his parole thing? But he was there on Wednesday. Interesting.
They showed footage from after Dynamite where there was a little bit of an argument between the Bucks and Christopher Daniels. Chris Daniels cuts a promo challenging for a match on Dynamite. I'll give you what that was when we go over the card. Dax Harwood challenged Okada to a singles match.
Okay, sure.
Thunder Rosa defeated Robin Renegade.
Okay.
And then the main event was Adam Copeland and Kyle O'Reilly. Again, a very good match. This was apparently the 100th defense of the TNT title overall.
Okay.
Not just Cope.
Wait a minute.
But that match then popped into the beginning of Rampage.
Mm-hmm.
So we got 3.5 minutes of that. And then this following show, Trent Beretta defeating Dalton Castle.
Okay.
Bounty Hunter Brian Keith defeating JD Drake.
Okay.
Deonna Purrazzo defeating Lady Frost.
All right.
A music video from The Acclaimed.
A vignette
for a comeback for Scorpio Sky.
Good God. Who asked for that?
And then the main event, Pac defeating Johnny TV.
Johnny TV might be fun.
There's a promo for what Adam Copeland wants to do at Double or Nothing. I'll go over that when we run through the cards, which I'm going to do right now. So Dynamite this week, which is coming at us
from Wednesday.
That's on Wednesday, coming at us from Seattle.
Yeah.
We've got the return of Hook.
Okay.
We've got Adam Copeland calling out Malakai Black to get an answer to his challenge.
Okay. I'll
tell you what the gimmick match is in a moment.
Uh-huh.
Roddy Strong and Will Ospreay having a face-to-face, a contract signing between Willow Nightingale and Mercedes Moné. Tony Storm versus Harley Cameron. The Young Bucks against Matt Sydal and Chris Daniels.
Wait, hold on. Harley Cameron lost to Mariah May, so then gets a shot with Tony Storm?
It's a non-title match.
I know, but still.
I don't disagree.
Okay.
It might be because she wants to get revenge for Mariah.
Okay.
Anyway, Young Bucks against Chris Daniels and Matt Sydal should be really good.
I mean,
Dax Harwood against Kazuchika Okada.
Okay.
Swerve against Brian Cage. It's a world title eliminator match. So if Cage beats him, he gets a title shot.
Sorry, Justin.
And then John Moxley and Brian Danielson will be going against the Callis family duo of Kyle Fletcher and replacing the Hurt Powerhouse Hobbs, New Japan TV champion Jeff Cobb.
Okay. All right. So Danielson and Moxley against Fletcher and Cobb.
Yes.
Okay. So United Empire still strong bonds there.
Yes. That should be awesome. All that's been announced for the Collision Rampage block is Will Ospreay against Shane Taylor, and Roosh will be on Rampage. Literally just Roosh will be in action. And right now, the Double or Nothing card as we have it. Willow Nightingale against Mercedes Moné for the TBS title.
Mm-hmm.
Roddy Strong against Will Ospreay for the International Championship.
Mm-hmm.
Timeless Tony Storm against Serena Deeb for the Women's Championship. Swerve against Christian Cage for the World Championship.
Mm-hmm.
The Elite, Okada, Jack Perry, and the Bucks against Brian Danielson, Eddie Kingston, and FTR in the arena. And Adam Copeland will be defending the TNT title against Malakai Black in a barbed wire steel cage match.
Okay.
Going right to 11 on that one.
All right, Cope. As long as there's no explosives involved.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they learned their lesson on the explosives. But yeah, barbed wire cage match just for the fuck of it.
Okay,
on this show.
Dude's just a glutton for pain. I mean, I guess theoretically it's a way to keep Buddy and Brody from interfering. Mm-hmm. But they do have magical teleportation powers. So
yeah, barbed wire can't stop teleportation.
No, just ask Nightcrawler.
Yeah.
Mon frere.
Mon
The Roughhouse Podcast is a weekly podcast fueled by coffee, pizza rolls, and the stench of dirty litter boxes. Follow Christoph and Marty on Twitter at RoughhouseSGW, at Facebook.com/TheRoughhousePodcast, and at Patreon.com/TheRoughhousePodcast for early access to episodes, exclusive podcasts, Roughhouse Redos, and Roughhouse Divided movie trivia games. New episodes drop every single Monday on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, and wherever you find your favorite podcasts.
Subscribe, motherfuckers!
This is the Roughhouse podcast with Justin and Christoph.
That's it.
Fuck Christoph. He's terrible with his information. Okay. Hey, this is The Rock. Shut your mouth, jabronis, and listen up, because this is the Roughhouse podcast with
Marty
and my least favorite man on the planet, Christoph.